Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Now, what is mind power? It is that part of ourselves that can be very creative, problem solving, and so much more. Well, my guest today is a woman who absolutely loves to enter into the world of the unique, the creative, and to sort of mentally do a tap dance with imagination. Who is my guest today? Well, it's Janine Kimmel, and she has put out a book called The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. Janine, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you. It's great to be here, and I love your introduction. Thank you so much.
Janine, when I got this book in the mail, and I have to tell you, I don't do a lot of fiction on my show. I find that nonfiction is just so phenomenal. But when I saw the cover of the book, it immediately grabbed me. And when I read through it, I absolutely am enthralled with the world of fantasy because to me it's magical. And of course, there's been the series, Harry Potter and then The Hobbit, and there are other series. You know, I think of Beatrice Potter, where she worked with animals. There's so many different levels of this, but I loved how you incorporated animals into your story. And before we get into it, I want my listeners to know that you are actually a nurse, and that you obviously love writing. You also involve yourself in art as a therapist. You find that this is a very useful tool. You love to teach, and you won awards for your first children's book, The Magic Gown. Janine, what is this delightful side of yourself? Did you write to escape from some of the harsh realities that you saw as a nurse? I mean, these characters are so absolutely wonderful. Is that one of the reasons you started writing?
Well, you know, I think it starts as a young child, growing up right on the edge of a wonderful, woods or forest, and noticing right away, my earliest memories, I loved nature. I felt so comfortable. It felt magical. The enchanted world, the adventurous world into the woods, even, you know, when you're little. And that always affected me. And I think that made a big impression. And then my grandfather, I look back at 4 years old, he gave me a poetry book. And so throughout my life, I noticed that all these things start to intertwine. And before I went to nursing school, I wrote poetry. I loved writing. I drew. I painted. And then I decided to be a nurse, and I specifically was a labor and delivery nurse. And so, you know, where that would take me, it was amazing because creativity and, you know, giving birth, and I found that as a teenager, creativity was such an incredible source of strength and helping me emotionally, you know, throughout mm-hmm. life when there were hard times. So all this came together as basically who I am, but you know, you can't separate them. They're me, and I completely am enchanted by the woods, the forest, animals, and it's like my magical child that's never gone to sleep. And so, and literally, if you read my bio on the book, it does say that my delight is to mix reality with these magical worlds, and that's what I do. Like, you know, I'll see a creature, or something will happen, and that will become a catalyst to create this magical world. So it's reality mixed with these enchanted worlds.
I think any good storyteller has always had that kind of a demeanor. When you think of the myths and fables that have survived for thousands of years, those various stories, even if they've been adapted within a cultural environment of a people, the basic essence of it is still the same. It is there so that the lessons can be imparted. And that is what I really enjoyed. Now, you have a marvelous artist, David Ciccarelli, and I just think that his artistry, not only is it whimsical, but it has this creative flow in it that just adapts to all of these fascinating little characters. And I'm looking right now at the very beginning of your book, where there's the Zusia Mountain Range, and you have this map of Echo Valley and Windy Voices and Laughing Wolf Pass. I mean, this is just absolutely marvelous. How did you ever get to know David?
Oh, that's an amazing story in itself. David contacted me by email because I was going to the London Book Fair with my first book, The Magic Gown. And he got to know me just for a few weeks, and our work was very similar. It was really a beautiful sort of synchronicity to have him contact me from Italy as a writer and an artist. And he flew from Italy to London to meet me and just to know who I was, because he loved my book, The Magic Gown. And we had a commonality, and yet he's a male, he's in Italy, I'm a woman here in New Jersey, and you know, here was this connection. It was undistinguishable. And so as we met, and as we started to talk together, we realized there was a story occurring between us. And this was a collaboration and inspiration. And the meeting of us really created the Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. And we went to Ireland 3 years in a row. And we stayed in this valley, and I wrote the Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, and he drew the characters and it was amazing because it was live as it was unfolding, and some of it I wrote all in hand so that we were almost taken back in history. And what's interesting about that is part one starts hundreds of years ago when animals talked, and that was the part that I wrote all by hand as if the computer wasn't even invented yet. And it was incredible, magical, and there really was a rabbit that inspired us to create our little rabbit, Sean. So that in itself is an incredible story of how this book became, you know, what it is. And you can feel it when you read it, that there's this magic behind the story.
As a rabbit, I'm going to share with my listeners some of the characters. You have Mika, who's a beautiful wild horse. You have Raccoon, who's called Grandpa. You have Jimmy the squirrel. Then you have a mole named Gwen. You've got, again, we mentioned Sean. You've got an eagle who's got a name of Edward. An owl by the name of Carol. You've got a badger in here. You've got a horse, Mercury, who is just a phenomenal horse. And then you've got Pinehead. I mean, all of these various characters, you ended up, I mean, even if you just started out with a rabbit, you ended up with all of these various characters, which adults are going to enjoy just as much as the children. Of course, as adults, we never grow up anyway, and my husband has often accused me of being more like a five-year-old. Whenever he's upset with me, it's usually more like three. But anyhow, so I really enjoyed, when I was reading your book, the way your theme starts out, because there's a bit of confusion and there's a lot of agitation. And when I first started reading it, oh my goodness, oh my, what is, you know, where is this going to lead? So you bring into the story an element of curiosity, and I find that the conflict that you introduce at the beginning of the story is one that is an age-old conflict. And it's a conflict, basically, without giving the storyline away, that no matter where you are in space or time, things break down. There are systems where you have to stand up for what you believe in. You have to be willing to step outside the box, to dare, to challenge things. And I said, aha, here we go. We're on the quest. That's the word I'll use. How did the rabbit inspire you? Since you were in Ireland, what was it about the little bunny rabbit that just gave you this persona? Because he's a spunky character.
Isn't he great? You know, it's funny because you're absolutely right that, you know, there's a thread of, you know, conflict, and there's a problem to be solved. And why it was him, you know, we were driving towards this cottage that we had no idea where it was in the middle of the night in Ireland. Neither of us had ever been there before. And we got lost for hours, and we were looking for this farm where we needed to get the key. And we were driving up this dirt road and to this valley that you couldn't see anything. And right in our headlights was this jackrabbit, and it just stared at us. And we both knew that this was a moment where that we made a connection to this little creature. And he literally showed us that he would be our hero. And, you know, it's a funny thing to try to explain these things because you're so caught in this moment of inspiration that I find unpredictable, but they do. They show up. And so there he was, and then we decided that he had to be a rebellious rabbit. He had to be outside the box. He wasn't really the most likely hero, and he was the one who would actually be, you know, of such pure heart, even though he was a thief. I mean, we can say that. But he, you know, he took me by surprise, truly, and David. And, you know, he was so endearing that was it. I was off and running and writing, and then we, you know, he runs into these pinehead creatures, and they were hysterical, and, you know, I got taken away. And, yeah, it does appear that it's my imagination, but it's more than that, you know? So Sean the Rabbit Thief is just such a favorite and truly endearing to me. And I'm forever grateful to this little rabbit. And we dedicated the book to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was an old, truly, this is a true story, again, all that night that we saw the rabbit, there was an old shepherd who was in a car. And he stopped on this little narrow dirt road, and I tried to ask him where, you know, this farm was that we needed to get the key. And he answered us in such this heavy Irish accent that I couldn't understand him. But all we understood, was follow me. And David, who has an Italian accent, and me, you know, New Jersey, I said, did he say follow me? And he goes, yo. So we follow him, and he takes us to the farm with the key. And, of course, just so you know, that shepherd's name was Sean. So we gave him credit. And he passed away 2 years ago. And
oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah, so we, you know, he's forever in this story as well. And there's all this wonderful, once again, unexpected, inspired, in-the-moment things. And I think as a writer and an artist, that's what you make stories out of. You make stories out of what shows up and shows me. You know,
mm-hmm.
So, and David, he was part of it, so it's like I have a witness, you know, it's like, it's not just me making it up, or, you know, it's been witnessed, and so, it was truly amazing, and I'm so grateful for the whole experience, and now that I sit and I hold the book 5 years later, that was 5 years, that I truly feel like, oh, this is something special. You know, and I'm sure lots of authors feel that way, but the way this book just presented itself with so many coming togethers of things, and saying yes, because I said yes to London and yes to Ireland and yes to this valley, and now the most adorable thing is that David and I are going back to Ireland in December to bring the book there because we've been invited by the County Kerry Library System, and I posted Sean is going home. And it like touches my heart when I say that, because
that is absolutely marvelous. And I think that those of you that are listening, if you love to write, if you want to do art, if you have this creative essence within you and you've suppressed it for so many years, be inspired by what Janine is sharing, because this is something that we need to open up, this part of ourselves when we're adults, to enter into the magic of, one, synchronicity, which I would definitely say was going on with you and this gentleman whose brogue was so thick it could be cut with a knife, and somebody from New Jersey that's got, you know, we've got this accent here from New Jersey, and then you've got the Italian guy that's just a singing like, you know, I got all this wonderful musical tone. And if you're lucky, you could even figure the two words, follow me, out.
Well, yeah, we both sort of heard it like deep, you know, it was like, did he just say follow me? Which, of course, is wonderful because, you know, not even just thinking about this now, in Alice in Wonderland, I believe the rabbit said, follow me, you know, so we didn't even know a rabbit would show up like 45 minutes later, you know. So, yeah, so all this wonderful storybook, you know, fairy tale, we were caught in it, and it was great, and it was just great. And so,
I understand how Ireland can be absolutely, absolutely magical, because it is known for its little people. It's known for the leprechauns. It has the history of the magical, the mystical, and this wonderful relationship with nature. You look at so many of their stories, getting past all the wars and the bloodshed that they've gone through historically. When you look at the essence of their fables, they have this very, very deep connection to the earth, to the people, that they feel occupy these magical spaces and places all around them. You have a river goddess whose name is Violet, and she is the one that the rabbit has to seek, because all of these legends tell of a time and of her love story, which, of course, everybody loves a love story.
Everybody.
It's very romantic, especially. Then you have, and I found this, there are statements of wisdom that I found throughout your book. The story is just charming, but the Great Watcher says, to be awake is to listen. To be awake is to sing. A river is heard before it is seen. This is part of the quest. And what it is about life is, many times we want to have black and white answers, and we can't get them. We're not going to get a black and white answer. Part of the journey, the experience you must go through, is the learning curve. And that's what Rabbit, that is what Sean goes through. And he makes a commitment. And I think that this is very important. And anyone reading it, especially if this is shared with a child, anyone reading that understands that this little rabbit, who is nondescript, doesn't feel very good about himself, knows that he's been a stinker more than once, but there's something bigger than himself that he feels that he's got to fulfill. And I think that's part of the beauty of your story, is that you go into this and share it with all of these different characters, because he is constantly challenged. He is constantly put down, and he just thumps his little foot, and off he goes. He goes, well, I'm going to do it anyway. He is the personification of what I would describe as a maverick. Someone that doesn't fit into, quote-unquote, the clique. I think this story for children is really great, because then they can, as children will, have an identification with someone that maybe was put down, wasn't beautiful, didn't have the perfect whatever. More than anything else, he wanted to do something that could make a difference and change, because, and I won't give this away either, there is something that is very, very dark and mysterious that's going on. And the heart and soul of this little bunny rabbit, well, jackrabbit, excuse me, but this little rabbit is just amazing. And that's what you convey in your story. Now, you also have a tattoo. And I thought, now this is interesting, you're bringing this in, because tattoos have become, just in the last few years, a very important aspect for identification with a lot of people. There is this component which is there, and the tattoo has a special story that's attached to it as well. But let's go into the river goddess. Who is she? Where did you get the inspiration for her from?
Well, well, thank you for your description of Sean, because you really know him. I mean, you know, you obviously got Sean, and you know, so thank you for that. And that tattoo truly is a mark of initiation, and really does show his commitment. And so that was that aspect. Violet, she's a presence that, well, first of all, in this valley that we were in reality, there is a beautiful river. And I guess, you know, when you're, she's the strongest force, I would say, in that valley, because she is of the river. She, you know, she watches over the land that the river's in. And what I love about this is, Sean, as in, you know, he's innocent even though he's a thief, and he's beautiful even though, you know, he's a criminal. And he's so courageous that he's willing to go up against this force of a river goddess, and he really believes that he can do it. And she's this great mystery to me, where, you know, She, and I love the exchange between her and the rabbit, because it's so beautiful. Like, the Great Watcher is a force as well, but Violet is this great mysterious mother quality that, you know, Sean is an orphan. So he kind of in some way meets the great force of the father and the great force of the mother. And so she just, to this day, Violet sort of is above me. You know, she holds this presence that I just have a respect for. And I think that's because of David's and my love for the nature and the river. But it, still, she still holds that place that I almost can't touch. And, you know, and she was one of my characters, and yet, you know, I don't know if I'm making sense to you, but it's something about her that is large and powerful, and yet here she was with this little rabbit, and she's exchanging their stories of love. And that, to me, was such an important exchange, because I really
that the exchange really could be summed up in one word, and that is love. She represents in your book the value of love, and how important it is, and that sometimes in life we discover, if we are fortunate enough, to realize that love isn't something that's dictated by sex or anything else. It is. It's an essence in and of itself that has truth, that has clarity, that just is. And there's no way to buy it. There is no way to package it. It is. Yes. You have to earn it. And the little rabbit, little Sean, that's really what's driving him more than anything else, and he's not aware of it. He's not understanding that. Yet with her, I think he learns that. And that's another very subtle lesson, that he becomes aware of this. And I'm not going to give away the rest of the story. Anyway.
Oh, no. But thank you, because this is so fun for me to listen to you after you know the story, to hear you, because it really is fun to hear this kind of feedback from me. You know,
well, I even
insight.
Left your turtle news. Boy, that's it. All of us immediately, as soon as you hear the word turtle, you're going to see this round thing, and you're going to look at it, and it's like everything associated with a turtle historically has always been, this is a slow mover. Not only does it live a long time, but it's slow in moving. And turtle news. Turtle news. This is, I thought, that's a great title for a chapter. Tell us a little bit about Turtle and how you got him in here. I didn't know they had any of those in Ireland.
The turtle, well, that in itself, you know, there's a big secret involved with the turtle. And if you notice in part one, because this book is in three parts, and so in part one, there's waiting for rabbit news. And then part one and part three kind of parallel each other, but one is in old times and one is in modern times. But there's a very similar thing, and then part two is a common thread. But in part three, there's a turtle, and it's very, very surprising at who this turtle is. And so Turtle News is a chapter where a lot of the secrets of this story start to get told. And you probably don't want me to tell too much of these secrets. But it's funny, too, that, trust me, I did not, you know, the rabbit is the quick one, the turtle is the slow one. I didn't even deliberately do that, you know, but that's how it showed up in my writing. And who this turtle is will surprise the reader. I just had a little, and also, as we well know, the turtle is such a connection to Earth, right? And mm-hmm. and so it's so appropriate when the reader finds out who the turtle is, that they will completely get it, understand it, and also very endearing. And, you know, there's a lot of sad little parts in my story because I want to go there. You know, I want to mm-hmm. tell the sorrow part, you know, and then the part where the sorrow turns into, you know, moving on, and then out of that comes something amazing. And there are segments of sorrow, which is always important for me, you know, to tell those parts.
I think
of
it's important for anybody to read it,
yeah.
because life is that way. You're going to have ups and downs, and that is what the magic of story brings in. You have a character in the last part of your book called the Penny Boy, and he is just such a phenomenal character. You have Nile and Nub, and both of these characters are, and they're in a modern day setting. So you have gone into old times, thousands of years past, and how that thread of needing to pay attention to things, to be able to watch what maybe seemingly is dying and watching it reborn. This thread is always going through your book on one level, and that's what life is. If you look at history, you'll find that history has repeated itself so many times, you go, good grief, don't we as humans ever learn? And the reality is every generation has to face its challenges. And if it's willing to listen to those that have walked paths of experience before, you might be able to survive the dramatic changes and get through them. But if you're not willing to open yourself up, and all of this by the little characters that you have. And of course, I'm just in love with Sean. I just love that little rabbit. And I just think that, you know, he just represents the human character on so many levels. How someone can really be a total rascal, totally outside of anybody, of everything that is in his environment, considering himself a misfit, and yet the heart is so big that he is willing to take a journey that nobody can give him any guarantees on. I'd say if he were in this modern world, that little rabbit would be an entrepreneur. But anyway...
Yeah.
That's just a Donna comment. This book is absolutely delightful, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicles. And I know before we went on air, you said, Janine, that you weren't sure that you were going to have a sequel to it, but this book is marvelous. And what a great book to have. And the artwork, I mean, David's artwork is just totally phenomenal and very much in suitability for the times that we live in and the way that young people look at things today. Now, Janine, what is your website that people can go to?
Oh, thank you. It's jlkimmel.com, and that's KIMMEL.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle also has a Facebook page, which is fun. And David is coming all the way from Italy to New York in November to do a book signing with me, which is exciting, and he's bringing art. And yeah, so thank you. You know, I'm so excited about this piece of work and feel like I was part of something magical. So thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I agree. And for all of the challenges you had in finally getting to that farmhouse, think of how much substance that gave to the very essence of your story, and I really believe that you caught a part of the heart of the Irish magic that storytellers for centuries have been known for, and I think you've carried it forward in a different form. For those of you listening, the yawning Rabbit River Chronicles, you know the holidays are coming up. Maybe somebody's having a birthday. This is a great book, I think, for young people, and I think as an adult, if you have a family and you were able to have a reading circle and you would share this story with a family, I just think it's great. That's what I love about the magic of books. And this is something that is just not just whimsical, the artwork is incredible, but it is a wonderful read. And if you just give out tidbits at a time, you'll find that there will be an excitement about having the chance to hear the story, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicles. Check out the Facebook. Go to her website, J.L. Kimmel, KIMMEL.com. Janine, thank you so much for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I do know we've got a caller waiting, and I'll get to you, caller, in just a moment. For those of you that are listening, I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today. 888-627-6008 is the call-in number if you'd like to chat with me. Before I go to our caller, though, today, what I wanted to do was mention, for those of you listening in Western Washington, in the state of Washington, I've got a class coming up on November the 3rd. This is going to be the last class of this year. And it is Quantum Mind 4. Robert Newman is going to be teaching the first section of the class on longevity, sharing with you secrets of Chinese wellness and application of herbs, etc., that empower the strength of the body. And then in the second half of the program, we are going to be working with your own intuitive talents and capabilities. We'll be doing exercises, and you're going to demonstrate to yourself that your own psychic ability is there, and it is meant to be utilized. So Quantum Mind 4, November 3rd, Saturday, it is a class that starts at 10 in the morning. Registration starts at 9, and it goes until 4 in the afternoon, and we do provide lunch for you. So if you'd like to do this, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. Give me a call, because now that I'm back from my trip, I am booking the class. We are only able to handle 25 students because that's what we feel is the cap, so we can give everybody the personalized attention that they want. So keep November 3rd on your calendar open. I'd love to have you join us. I think you will have an awesome day. I don't think it. I know it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Let's go to our first caller today. Caller, welcome to the show, and thank you for waiting.
Well, hello. This is Roger from Alaska.
Well, hello, Roger. Where in Alaska? I'm coming up next week. That is marvelous. Where are you in Alaska?
I'm from Nikiski, and I met you when I was 18, and when you knew Herb Shainland.
Oh, for heaven's sake. My goodness.
Yes, ma'am. And you, a friend called me last night, and he said, this is a lady that's intuitive, you know, psychic, and her name is Donna Sebo, and I said, you're kidding. And here I am, 67, talking to you, and I just wonder what you see, anything with the dinar rate value happening over there in Iraq. Will their money be coming through for them, for those people? Will they be coming around and getting their currency balance?
Well, I think the challenge is going to be one of, how can I say this? I don't think it's going to be an easy road. And the reason is that you have different worlds of thinking. And you have thinking of what I would describe as the old world and an absolute attitude of total control and manipulation. Also, what is going on is tremendous fear. And, Roger, when I'm watching this, you've posed a fascinating question here. Because there are multiple levels of interaction going on between various classes of people, both within their own national environment as well as international environment. And I see so much conflict, and it's because there's so much of the past that is being carried forward. To me, it's like trash. And they don't know, they don't want to let go of the trash. So it's a fascinating picture, but I don't see anyone, and I mean this very sincerely, I don't see anyone at this moment that really has a bigger picture. In other words, someone that can withdraw and look at a broad view, like a general would if he were up on top of a plateau observing a battlefield below, because that's really what's going on here. There's a big battle, and it's a battle for power.
It's tough to leave that dictator idea. It's tough to leave that,
Well, when you have a mentality that has been entrenched for a long time. I don't care where you are. I don't care what culture it is. I do not care about any systems, anything like this. It is a very human patterning. So when fear is at a base, fear of loss, fear of, I'm not going to have my power. I'm going to be robbed. Whenever you have a profound fear and it is being experienced by each individual that is participating in this scenario, then you're going to have things just cave in. It cannot have a good foundation. It's not any different than running a company. If you're going to run a company and you have good principles, good ethics, and you have a clarity and you have a vision, this is going to make it very simplistic, and this situation is not that simplistic in truth because of the various levels of interaction, but it is like running a company. And at any time when you have individuals, I don't care what the position is, who lack the integrity, who lack principle, who cannot see the vision, who are in fear for whatever it is they think they own, you're not going to be able to get very far with it. So you really have to get at the core. You really have to get at the core. This is not an easy resolution. You have too many. Yeah. It's like I'm looking at all kinds of hands reaching in, and they're sticky. So in my view, you've got a lot of unethical people that you're not even hearing about that are in the background.
Yeah.
They got sticky fingers. And they've been able to operate this way for a long time. So no matter what part of the playing field you're on, each one, it's like having 45 different football teams. You're going to say, okay, all 45 have to play against each other on one little football field. You go, excuse me, got too many players. You can't do that. It's just nothing but chaos. And that's what you've got.
Yeah, yeah. It's just taking a while because they can't settle down to get their parliament adjusted before they can get their people out of that just dire poverty. Yeah.
Well, it takes more than an individual. You've heard the saying, I'm sure, that it takes a village to raise a child. And application is the same whether it is in a company, whether it is in a government, whether it is in any level. I don't care whether it's a religious environment or anything else. If the people at the top do not really have the integrity, and those underneath them, if they don't set the standards, if they don't have the excellence and the clarity and the integrity and the real purpose, they have to lead by example. And if you don't have that, then you're going to have an apathy on the part of people under you. And this is really a simple application. It's difficult to do because all of the team has to be aware of this and they have to be held accountable. Accountability is very important. And so when you do that, that's when you'll see change. And there's always going to be people who say, we don't want the change. It's been done this way for the last 75,000 years. You go, excuse me, did it work before? No. Don't you think it's about time we do something different? But I don't care if it's medicine. I don't care if it's business. Again, it is an ongoing challenge. And to change an understanding of a culture, to change wherever it is in the world, to really get a clarity about it, it takes a lot of time, but it takes people that really have the understanding of how to do it and are going to walk the walk, not just flap their lips and make promises, but really do it. And
I live here in Alaska, I bought a new cabin. What do you see about that being an anchor for me in Alaska? Its numbers add up to a number 9.
Well, I think when it comes to the cab, you really better have a good mechanic because this cab is going to have some particular electrical problems. Now, why this is the case...
Well, it's a cabin. It's my house.
Our cabin. It's still... I'm getting electrical problems. Electrical problems.
Okay.
So if this is a cabin, you are going to still have electrical problems. So you need to be sure that you have a qualified electrician so that you have, number one, a backup system with it, so that if there's any outage or something like that, you're able to enforce it. But number two, you don't want to skimp on having the work done. You want to have someone, I said a mechanic, but an electrician. You want to really be sure that you have that taken care of. And Roger, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear your voice. And I saw your picture on your site. I said, that's her. She hasn't changed.
Well, thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. And from the far north, we're all looking forward to see you up here, too. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Roger. My goodness, what a surprise that was. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. It really, really makes a difference. And for those of you that are listening for the first time, I have had really a love affair with the state of Alaska for, my goodness, a good 30 years. If ever you have a chance to take a cruise or to visit that absolutely magnificent state, I encourage you to do so because it has a heart in it that is just phenomenal. I love it. I just think that the people in Alaska represent, and, it's it's an individual independence and self-sufficiency that I just have such a deep respect for, and I have been very fortunate to have it as a significant part of my life. So I encourage you to visit it. It'll take your breath away. When I was on my trip last week, I had people saying, oh, we can hardly wait to go. We want to take a cruise, or we want to fly up there. And then others would say, well, we've gone and it took our breath away. It really does. And it really has a powerful, powerful effect. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I wanted to just make a little comment here, a quote by Cheryl Chavez of Greensboro, North Carolina. She said, visionaries are people who see beyond their abilities. Now, I thought that was a very interesting statement. Visionaries are people that see beyond their abilities. Now, if that is the case, that means you can use your imagination, and just like Janine in writing her story, you don't put any parameters about what it is that you have within yourself to expand. You just do. It's okay to dream big. And like Norman Vaughn, who is a man that I have a great deal of respect for, he told me, he said, Donna, dream big and dare to fail. Powerful words, powerful words that you need to keep in your mind, because you should never, regardless of your age, never, ever give up on your dreams. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break. When we come back, well, I got a little bit of this to share with you and a little bit of that. And, of course, you'll find out about my guest tomorrow. Join me. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be right back. Don't forget, 888-627-6008.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite meats is chicken. And I have fixed it so many different ways. I have to tell you honestly, one of my favorite things to eat is fried chicken. Mm-hmm. Good old-fashioned southern fried chicken. Oh, I just love it. Well, if you were like me and you go, yeah, that's good once in a while, but what is it, the old saying, if you have XYZ calories that go through the lips, they spend the next 75 years on your hips? Uh-huh. Well, we often want to look for recipes that are going to give us taste and flavor, and not necessarily real high in calories. But have you noticed when the temps start getting cooler, you want more substance in your food? And I think many times flavor is so important. I love cheese. And this recipe, this is a chicken artichoke casserole. So this is something if you're going to a potluck or if you wanted to have this for your family or for yourself, gee, this is really a different flavor. And if you like artichokes, and I do, this is going to give a different bit of a taste to a dish that I think is just absolutely wonderful. So I wanted to share it with you. By the way, if you've ever had hot artichoke dip and you really liked it, you'll like this. Now, what you're going to need, the ingredients are really simple. You're going to need a tablespoon of olive oil, one red pepper, fresh red pepper. You want to chop it up, and I'd say, yeah, a little bit on the finer side. You don't want necessarily big chunks, but the choice is yours. That's going to add up to about a cup in the amount. A quarter of a cup of sliced scallions. You need 3 cups of chopped cooked chicken. Your rotisserie chicken is fabulous for this recipe. I've got a girlfriend. She can get like 4 or 5 meals out of different dishes that she fixes. She has enchiladas and all kinds of things that she fixes. 1 rotisserie chicken. She said economically it saves her money when she goes and she gets one. So she said, I can make all kinds of dishes and the chicken's already ready. So that's a tip for my girlfriend. You need 1 can, a 14-ounce can of artichoke hearts. And they need to be drained and chopped. And you want to get 1 container, which is about 10 ounces, I believe, of refrigerated reduced-fat Alfredo pasta sauce. Yes, or if you have your favorite Alfredo pasta sauce and you don't care about the calories, use that. You need 1 cup of shredded Asagio cheese. Oh, that's such a good cheese. It's got a nice texture and bite to it. So you need a cup of that. That's about 4 ounces. And 1/2 cup of reduced-fat mayonnaise. If calories, again, are not a concern, just use regular mayonnaise. It's just going to make it richer in taste. And you need 1 1/2 cups of Romano cheese croutons. And it's about a 5-ounce package. And all you have to do is crush them right in the bag. Get out the rolling pin and just go boom, boom, and you'll have it in fine crumbs. And you might want to have a little bit extra of your sliced scallions that you can use just as garnish.
Caller line 3.
Okay, I know we've got a caller on line 3. Quickly, let me speed up this recipe, get it done, and I'll take that caller. Your oven has to be preheated to 350 degrees. You need 11x7, a 2-quart glass baking dish. Spray it with a cooking spray. Your oil, you heat it over medium heat. Add your pepper and scallions. 2 to 3 minutes cooking. Stir it occasionally. They'll begin to soften. In a big bowl, you combine your pepper mixture with your chicken artichoke hearts, Alfredo sauce, cheese and mayonnaise. Stir it till it's all blended. Put it in your baking dish. Sprinkle it with croutons. Bake uncovered. 30, 35 minutes. You got it. Sweet, simple, and easy. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
And
where
I'm
are you calling
from
in
Virgin
from?
Island.
Excuse me?
Calling from the Virgin Islands. I'm calling from the Virgin Islands.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so delighted you were able to share with us a time that worked for you. Okay, let's get to this, Pat. First thing I'm looking at is that you must pay attention to the amount of money that you're spending. Now, the word investing is coming through loudly and clearly. So you need to really watch your numbers carefully. And the reason you need to do this, someone is going to try to talk you in to doing something with your money that is not going to bring a return. They are going to promise you all kinds of results. I want you to do a check on them before you even consider remotely working with them, because I don't think they're capable of doing what they say they can do. I think it's hype, and I think the money's going to go in their pocket. You're not going to get any results. You're going to be totally disillusioned, and you're going to feel like you're between a rock and a hard spot. I don't want you to feel that way. So anyone that's saying, oh, pay me $10,000 and I guarantee you $1 million, I want you to hold your money tight to your wallet and just say, thank you, I'll check some things out. I want you to develop the habit of checking the individuals out that you're working with. You want to see what their track record is. Also, I'm seeing you're getting these headaches, and I think part of it is stress, but I also think it has something to do with your eyes. I think that your eyes may be going through strain, could be from working on a computer or something that you're studying. It's as if you're reading a lot of stuff. Go see your eye doctor. Have your eyes checked. Think about what you are doing that's putting stress on the eyes. And a change of lens or having new lenses will just do wonders for you. Do you have a quick question for me before we close out the show?
Yes, I have been studying for an exam, which I have taken before, and I've had no positive results in being able to pass it. I'm taking it in a couple of weeks, so I want to know if you have any comments on that.
Well, what is this exam for?
It's for engineering.
Okay. What you need to do is to really get a hold of someone. I would talk to a professor. If you know of someone that you really have a great deal of respect for, and you say, I would like you to tell me about a tutor that I can work with. And all it is a shift in your thinking. You need to be able to look at things a little bit differently so that your thinking process will be comfortable with what you will be tested on. And if you have a good tutor, I think you will do. You will pass the test. I don't see you necessarily getting an A+, but I'm looking at you like a C+ or a B-. You need someone that you can work with that is going to help you understand the language. That is your difficulty. The language of engineering, as it is going to be applied in the exam, is your difficulty. That's the best way I know how to say it.
Okay.
All right, my dear. Good luck. And I think you can pass this test and then some, proving to yourself you're quite capable, but you need some tutoring.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Go for it. My goodness. You're more than welcome. Wow, this hour just went by like the wind. Donna Sebo here. I am so delighted that you've been able to join me. I invite you to do the same for the rest of the week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Alani Leary. No one has to die alone. This is something, a subject that often people don't want to discuss because it seems like, oh, it's so negative. No, it is not. It is something that we need to have a compassion about and an understanding. So won't you join me tomorrow? I know you'll be delighted with this lady, and her wisdom and caring is just phenomenal. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with me. I hope you'll join me during the rest of the week as well. See you back here, same time, same place, tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day or evening wherever you are. Bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.